Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. When it comes to mating in the animal kingdom, you'd think humans would have it all figured out, especially women. We're far more intelligent than any other species. We don't go into heat like other female mammals. Therefore, we're capable of making smart choices and picking partners based on more than who's the reigning alpha male, right? Well, maybe not. Maybe biology is destiny.
Our next guest says that women are much more sexual and sexually complicated than was previously thought. And this may explain why our choice in partners occasionally defies logic. Dr. Vanita Mehta is a clinical psychologist and a journalist. She has a master's from Harvard and a PhD from Columbia, where she was trained as both a scholar and a practitioner. Dr. Mehta writes the Head Games blog for Psychology Today and was science editor for the PBS special, This Emotional Life. Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Mehta. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
You've blogged about this subject for Psychology Today, and you cite studies that note that women's mate preferences shift according to their menstrual cycle. What have those studies found?
Well, basically, for many years, we thought that women had lost estrus over the course of human evolution because when women ovulate, we don't display the same signals as many female mammals. You know, we see this in, of course, pet dogs and pet cats. But research over the last two decades has actually shown that women do experience a form of sexual heat, or estrus, if you will, in which interest in sex and mating basically spikes during that time of peak fertility. And it's during that window that women's mate preferences change and they become much more attracted to, you know, what would commonly be called alpha males. These are, you know, very handsome and physically attractive men. And the reason for this attraction at this time is because those sexy men, basically, those physical attributes are signals of good genes. And that's what women are really attracted to during that window of time, are those high-quality genes for posterity.
All right. So those high quality genes, unfortunately, translate to some, let's say, characteristics of behavior that you refer to as CADs. How do these men behave, and why is it that our mental acuity doesn't overcome our biological urges?
Well, basically, in the literature, there are two classes of men, which the experts call dads and CADs. And CADs typically or often embody the qualities of what we know in the, again, in the field to be called the dark triad. And so these men will exhibit the characteristics of narcissism, of Machiavellianism, of psychopathy. These are the men who tend to be very socially dominant, but they typically only offer short-term prospects for a woman. But these characteristics have been shown to be linked to what we would call good genes. These are the men who have very strong immune systems. And, you know, when you look at this from an evolutionary perspective, a strong immune system would go a very long way in the ancestral environment where our ancestors thousands of years ago were, you know, very susceptible to pathogens in a way that we don't really experience as much today.
One thing I was curious about in the CADs category is that you say, along with sexy, narrow eyes and strong jaws, these gentlemen tend to be flashy and exploit others. And I wonder, is that really genetic, or is that because they're in a position to not treat everybody well because they're in the ball is in their court, so to speak?
Yeah, I think the jury is still out on that one. We know that the association, you know, we see the statistical association, but we're not really sure in what direction it's going yet. But we can say is that this phenomenon of, you know, very masculine features and being a CAD tend to go together, that there is some kind of biological underpinning there.
During less fertile phases, you describe in your blog that women choose men who are what the literature calls dads. Tell us about dads and their qualities.
Well, dads are the guys that your mother would want you to marry. Those are the guys who are stable, they're warm, they're good invested fathers, and they stick around. They tend to be more committed. And these are the men that women tend to partner with socially and raise, you know, get married and raise families. But it's during that time of peak fertility, during ovulation, that it's just the preferences tend to shift. But it's not as if women stop, you know, wanting to be with dads. It's just that they would prefer CADs during ovulation.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Raff.
And we're talking with Dr. Vinita Mehta about women's preferences and partners during ovulation. Dr. Mehta is a clinical psychologist and a journalist, and she writes the Head Games blog for Psychology Today. Let's talk about that choice that they make, because we've always flattered ourselves that we are an intellectual species. So how is it that biology overrides our decision making?
Basically, I mean, you can kind of think of these urges as, you know, sort of as the appendix, sort of phased out usefulness. We can see this as a residue, or, you know, it's a residue, basically, of our evolutionary makeup. And during this time, you know, it is natural for women to feel the attraction to a CAD. What's very interesting is that there's also new research showing that for women who have grown up in unstable environments, that their attraction to CADs is even stronger. And the reason that is because women who grow up in unstable environments, it says, if though they develop this mantra, mate before you die. And since, you know, short-term mating prospects are much higher with a CAD than with a dad, and they want those good genes, the idea is that their kind of their perspective narrows. And so, you know, you'll see this a lot with, you know, teenage pregnancy. You know, a lot of these girls, they come from very unstable backgrounds. And what's driving this psychologically is basically to mate before they, you know, before the risk of not reproducing in an unstable environment. So again, you can kind of see how we were built evolutionarily doesn't necessarily square with how we actually live in the modern world.
But what's so interesting, and you mentioned this in the same article about the study that was done on women choosing a sperm donor, they actually chose good genetic material, the good-looking men, over less attractive but more sensitive men. And that's when there's no long-term relationship involved. So how do we explain that?
Well, basically, I mean, what I really loved about this study is that it isolates the ultimate test of what a woman would want for her future child. So that what was so great about this study is that they basically, what they looked at was they asked women to construct, you know, their ideal man. What are the characteristics? And then they said, you know, tell, you know, what are your mate preferences, basically? And they crunched the numbers. And when women are selecting sperm donors, only giving thought to basically what genes their child would be receiving, women were more interested in good genes than good personality characteristics.
Oh, we could go on for hours, but we're going to have to end it here. Dr. Vinita Mehta is a clinical psychologist, journalist, and she writes the Head Games blog for Psychology Today. She was science editor for the PBS special, This Emotional Life. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Mehta.
You bet. Thank you.
For more information on female sexuality and Dr. Mehta, visit the Take Care webpage at WRVO.org.
Coming up on next week's show, the benefits children enjoy when they play sports is undeniable. But a growing culture of competitiveness and year-round training may be doing our kids harm. The chief of sports medicine at Loyola University explains what's behind the rise in youth sports injuries.
Let's take basketball as an example. If you're in a traveling league playing basketball, if you are playing on your school team playing basketball, if you are playing in a summer league playing basketball, that means you're playing basketball now every month of the year.
Thanks for spending this half hour with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's show, email us at takecare@wrvo.org. This episode of Take Care is also available as a podcast on iTunes and at wrvo.org/takecare. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And until next time, take care.
The information presented on Take Care is offered for educational and informational purposes only and should not be construed as personal medical advice. You should consult with your personal physician or caregiver regarding your own medical care. Take Care is a production of WRVO Public Media, written and produced by Lorraine Rapp and Linda Lowen, edited and engineered by Leah Landry. Catherine Loper is executive producer. Support for Take Care comes from the Health Foundation for Western and Central New York.